Bend those legs, Arthur. Bend them. That's it, baby. Bend them.
All right, Arthur.
Bend them. Bend them.
As you may have gathered from that intro, today I'm going to be talking about tap dance. And if you don't know anything about tap, please don't be scared away or immediately uninterested, because the other theme of this podcast is hidden figures. So black people in throughout history who have gone unrecognized and unrepresented and have been left out of the story. And I think that tap is an excellent medium through which to see how black people have been hidden in the story of tap and what we see, because, well, I'm a dancer, I do tap, I have for a few years now, I love it, it's amazing. But for most of you listening, you probably haven't and probably don't have that many experiences with it. But when I was coming to think about what I would talk about today, I considered what is most people's experience with tap. And if you think to your own, maybe you've seen it in a musical, or particularly if not in real life, you might have seen it in a Hollywood, a Golden Age musical, like Singing in the Rain. You might be familiar with Fred Astaire or Gene Kelly, the kind of faces of tap that we still recognise today, even if it's not necessarily in its heyday anymore. But actually, what is the common conception today kind of misses out a really interesting story of how it came to be that is very linked to the story of African Americans, a story very much rooted in slavery and the changing place of African Americans in American society. So that's kind of what I want to touch on today, and I hope that you're interested to come along with me. Before I start, I just wanted to give you some recommendations of books. I love books, so I'm going to recommend books that I really love from black authors writing in relation to race. And I just encourage you generally to engage with black creators, writers, media, films, everything, and yeah, make sure that your engagement with the world is diverse in general. But so from me, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, she's well known, but she's really talented. I've read Purple Hibiscus by her, which is like amazing. She's written fiction, non-fiction, she's great, love her. Claudia Rankine, I've also done an episode, I've done a podcast on her actually as well, which you can go listen to if you like. It's an amazing book, it's called Citizen. It's part of a series, so you can read around that, but it's poetry, it's prose, it's an amazing work. And yeah, those are just two that I really recommend. But yeah, like, go read things. And also, a lot of these people I'm going to mention, I can't show you the videos due to the medium that I'm presenting this in, but I will be playing some clips. And I really highly recommend you to go look on YouTube, find clips of some of the people I'm going to mention, because they're honestly, like, so talented. It's crazy. The origins of tap really start with slavery in America. What you get is African people who've been enslaved and taken and are now working, at least some people working on plantations in Southern America, picking cotton, etc., working on plantations. And so Christianity, which is obviously the dominant religion amongst white Europeans who are living in America and who are the plantation owners and the slave owners, they're all Christians, and they really frown on dancing because they're like all uptight and whatever. And also drums are banned for slaves because in order to prevent rebellion, supposedly. And so, but obviously people still want to dance, they still have fun, they still want to express themselves. And so we get this predecessor of tap, which is just looking for a style of dancing that doesn't look like dancing, at least not to a white European, right? Because if you think about what the popular dance styles would have been, it's very much ballroom, very much ballet, codified styles that are very distinct from tap, if you imagine what that is. So it's about feet movement, it's about being grounded, and also they're looking for something to create percussion. So it's kind of stamping, kind of a very different individual style to fit these requirements of what they need dancing to be. And you also get in here in these origins, kind of it touches on the core of what tap is and what it symbolizes still today, because it's very much like a communal dance, and a lot of about tap is about teachers teaching to someone and passing that around, passing around different rhythms, passing around different moves. And so it's very much a form connected with self-expression, with connecting with people, with fun, and about like rhythm and heartbeat. And so you get that right from the very beginning, which is pretty awesome. Around this time, you've also got minstrel groups. So these are white performers who will present caricatures of slaves on plantations and kind of mock them and do blackface, and they're like supposed to be entertaining and do these kind of comedic, supposedly, performances, and they'd go traveling around. And here we see there's a man called Master Yuba, whose name was Master Yuba, but his name was William Henry Lane. And he was the only black person to tour with a white minstrel group. And he was a tapper in the early days of that, kind of creating the meaning of what it is. But he was a really interesting figure because he's the only black person to be touring with a white minstrel group. And another interesting thing about these minstrel group is that one of the characters that they would take on was called Jim Crow, and if you don't know, that's the name for the segregation laws in America. So that's actually a really interesting connection that we get in the roots of and the periphery of tap. We get this origin of this very divisive, very significant moment later in American history. So after slavery is abolished, you get a lot of freed slaves living in this place called Five Points in NYC, which is now it's now Chinatown. If you've ever been, I haven't been to NYC, but it's Chinatown now. But back then, it was really a cultural melting pot of people of different cultures and different countries, and a lot of freed slaves, as I was saying. And here, this is relevant in what tap is, because you get this intersection of the dances that the freed slaves now have from slavery that we discussed just a minute ago, and you get it crossing with Irish jigging and British clogging, which are styles that have similarities. If you're familiar with Irish dancing, it's all in the feet. It's all about like it's kind of similar to tap. It's kind of about stomping and clomping and stuff. And British clogging, which isn't really that much around as far as I know, but it's actually a pretty interesting style that came about when people started wearing clogs on their feet, and obviously they're quite loud, so people would use them to stamp about and things. So you get all these styles intersecting and all these people coexisting. So this is kind of pushing tap forward a bit more into its different influences. So tap starts to peak around the 20s and 30s, and I don't think I can really overstate like how important it was at the time. If you were an actor, you had to be a good tap dancer. Like, people would say you have to dance, but what they meant was like, you have to tap dance, and you have to tap dance very, very well. And 30s, we get Great Depression, and so when people were going to see the pictures, going to see movies, they were looking for form of escapism, really, and films were just kind of supposed to be fun and distracting and just like be a really good time. So we've got a lot of these golden age musicals, like I was saying, and a lot of tap dancing. And here is where we can really point out some of the really interesting figures interesting black figures of tap. So, for example, we've got the Nicholas brothers, who their parents were musicians. They were born in and around the clubs of the time, and they're brothers, and they did these incredible, really acrobatic, really athletic, like, these routines that were like about them jumping and jumping to the splits and doing all these great stunts. And I think it's from Stormy Weather, this clip. And so I'll just play you guys a bit of the sound, but I'm really, go watch this clip because they're amazing. They're so bouncy. But yeah, listen to this. Stormy Weather from 1943, and you have to watch this video because they're just like jumping and doing these amazing rhythms and really like strong technical work, and they were more or less self-taught. Like, they just kind of picked it up from being around the clubs and learning from around them, but they were really one of the well-known acts of the time. And so an interesting, I saw a documentary with one of them talking. Their names were Fayard and Harold, and I believe it was Harold talking about an experience that they had in one of the clubs once they were really, like, well-known and they were in all the pictures and things. And so they would be performing in the clubs, but all the clubs were segregated, and so black performers could perform. There was just no way that they would be allowed onto the club floor to interact with the white patrons. But the Nicholas brothers were at such a stage that they were allowed to sometimes have drinks and be treated as patrons and to integrate into the club somewhat. So here we see again this theme where tap is telling us how it's just a vehicle to see changing dispositions, because obviously we've got this terrible segregation, but at the same time we're seeing how people are changing and getting a bit more accepting. Another figure from this time is a man called Bill Bojangles Robinson, and he is another amazing dancer, and the very interesting thing about him was that he danced alongside Shirley Temple. And I've actually talked with a few people about Shirley Temple and realized that people don't know who she is. She was a child. I remember describing her entirely to someone, and then I forgot to mention that she was like 4 at the time. She was this child star, and she was absolutely massive. She was so famous. She was like the most well-known person, like, in film at the time. She was a beloved, she was the nation's sweetheart, blah, blah, blah. Like, she was this 5-year-old who, whenever a film came out with her, dance school enrollment went up. You would know that it was a box office hit. Like, Shirley Temple movies were the thing of the time. And so, Bill Bojangles Robinson, he actually danced alongside Shirley in some of her movies. And why this is so groundbreaking in a way is that black performers were allowed to be in movies, but usually they would be performers within the narrative of the film. They're not characters, they're just people performing. And so you get that perception of segregation. And what was really interesting was that sometimes even the black performers would be put in interludes in the film, which sometimes would be cut out, especially for Southern audiences, so that they would be more palatable and to prevent from causing outrage, really, which is pretty crazy. He is somewhat infantilized in the view of the story, but he's still there. He's dancing, holding hands with this little white girl as part of the story. It's really a step forward in the presentation of how black people were presented in movies of that day. And it's far from perfect. As I said, his character's kind of infantilized. He's not like a real character within the story, but it's a totally different presentation that is something that is totally unique to him. So let me just play you a little clip of him dancing here for you with Shirley Temple.
I went to the market for to get some beef. And the beef's on top, and I couldn't get enough. I paid $5 for a great big hog, and the hog's so fat, and I couldn't get back.
Around this time, finally, I just wanted to mention also this man, John W. Bubbles. His name was William Sublette, and he was around in the 1930s as well, and he's known as the father of rhythm tap. So he's this great figure who was really involved in vaudeville and a great tapper as well. So let me just play you a little clip of that. Moving on, after the 30s, tap is kind of starting to die out. We get Second World War, and tap isn't so much in the public conscious in the same way that it was around the 30s. It never is. I mean, so far. Maybe we'll get a resurgence in the 2030s or something. But as of yet, tap has never reached the heights that it did then, as far as I understand it. So I wanted to cover briefly what's going on in tap today, and just to touch on one figure, his name is Savion Glover. He's an American, he's a modern tap dancer with like this unique style. It's called hitting. He's kind of trying to renew this interest in tap. He describes it as free form, hardcore. He's got his own school in Newark, and He is another embodiment of the principles of tap to me. There's this quote here that he teaches an approach to the dance that is holistic, honest, and true to what his students are. That he doesn't want to codify it, he doesn't want to make it strict. He does dance education versus dance class. And so I think we can see there how the spirit of tap and what it means has maintained itself throughout this whole process of it. And yeah, that's just really amazing to see. So yeah, that's kind of my overview of tap dance in America, particularly relating to black people, to African Americans. And I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was somewhat educational. If you want to watch these tappers, as I really highly recommend you do. So the people I mentioned today were John W. Bubbles, Bilbo Jangles Robinson, and the Nicholas Brothers. You can also look at Savion Glover, a man called Will Gaines, who I'm going to leave you with now. Will Gaines, just to mention quickly, he was more involved in the UK tap and jazz scene. And so he wasn't really relevant when I was talking about America, but he was a black dancer in the UK involved in those scenes, and he worked with Duke Ellington and Billie Holiday and was overall amazing. So if you want to just search any of those dancers into YouTube, you can watch movies like Stormy Weather or The Little Colonel or Captain January. There's a whole bunch of things, and there are some documentaries out there that are really interesting if you just look around on YouTube, just up there for free, and interviews with some of these dancers. So yeah, go have a look if you're interested. Don't if you're not. Come do tap at Welly if you like. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. And with that, I'll leave you with Will Gaines. Goodbye.
who was Royce Edward Gaines? Who was he? Where did he come from? The hospital flooded. There was no record of me being born.
My name is Willie Gaines. I come from Detroit. Sometimes I'm out about open lady. I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, it was something that I thought I was doing with my feet. I tap dance and I tap dance and I tap dance and the pump and the rap tap tap. New York says you're going to England. So I pack my bag, my hat, out the door, into the taxi, straight to the airport.